Welcome back to the second week of Getting the Game. Man, my heart for you is that you can plug into the purpose and the plan and that you are a player on God's team. And he's not a coach, but his word is what you live by. You trust his way, his plan, and you walk it out. Man, that you are running the route that he has for you. That's my heart, my soul for you, is that you can live out the purpose plan, that you're not living your life as your game, but you are trusting God because he really does have a route for you to run. He has a purpose and a plan for you. Listen to him, trust his word, and live it out. That's the whole point of this series, that you plug into purpose, that you're serving God, that you're serving people, that you're loving everyone, that you're loving him. And when you do that, here's the truth, you love life. And today we're talking about beating the odds. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about, actually, I remember the game, the 1993 Oilers and Bills game. It's called The Comeback because it is the greatest comeback in NFL history. It was the 1993 AFC wild card game for the playoffs. And the Bills were doing great that year. So were the Oilers. I think the Bills were 11-5 and the Oilers were 10-6. And Jim Kelly was the quarterback for the Bills. I wasn't a huge Bills fan. I was an Oilers fan. And Warren Moon was, even though I was in high school, Warren Moon was like, I loved Warren Moon, still to this day, one of my favorite quarterbacks. But Jim Kelly was quarterbacking for the Buffalo Bills, but he got hurt and he wasn't in that game. And a guy named Fred Reich was quarterback. And Fred Reich was a pretty good quarterback. He was known for one thing. He had the biggest comeback ever in the history of college football. He led it. So now we have this game, but the Bills are just tanking it. Man, at halftime, it's 28-3. The Bills are down. Houston's up. I was stoked. And then something happens after the half. Like, the Bills come back in, and in the third quarter, score 28 points. By the end of the fourth quarter, it's tied up. 38-38. Overtime, like people are losing their mind. Overtime, the Bills win it. Frank Reich, bro, the king. It's called the comeback. The biggest comeback, overcame a 32-point deficit. Here's what's wild. At halftime in the Bills' locker room, the last thing that he says to Frank Reich, it's like, hey, you know, you have the greatest comeback in all of college football. Maybe lightning's going to strike twice. And it does. And here's the cool thing. I want you to know that you can beat the odds that are coming against you. You see, the enemy does everything he can to make you think that you are going to lose in this life, that you cannot fulfill your purpose, that you can't fulfill your call, and he does that by telling you and making you feel that you're not living a fulfilling life. Put yourself in the position of the Buffalo Bills. Do you think they felt fulfilled at halftime? It's 28-3. Their playoff hopes are going down the drain. It's a wild card game. Like, they're lucky to be there, and yet it's in the tank. And yet there was something that happened. So we're just going to jump into the word. You ready? Because I want to talk about Ruth. So I'm going to read this. We're going to go quickly. It says, Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came on the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephraites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Why'd they leave Judah? Why'd they leave the land of Israel? Because there was a famine. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other married a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. To beat the odds, we got to know three simple things. Here's the first one. This sounds kind of harsh, but it's not. Here's our first one to beat the odds. Your past will never change. Never. You can never, ever, ever go back and change your past. It is what it is. You got to know that. You see, the enemy wants us to do something, though, with our past. Because you're never going to forget your past, but you get to decide if you're going to live in your past or if you're going to live in the place that God has for you. So we look at Naomi. We look at her daughter-in-law, Orpha, Ruth. Their past isn't going to change. They lost their husbands. And they've been in a place, you know, if we look at Naomi and her family, they've been in a place of famine. They've been in a place of failure, of loss, of pain. Like, that's Naomi. That's also her daughter-in-law's. You're not changing any of the pain from the past. Like, the pain from the past, you can't go back and undo it. It is there. To beat the odds, you got to know that your past is not going to change. Like, why is that? Well, that's like, why are you talking about the past? I just want to forget it. You can't. You will not forget. But when you surrender to the truth that the Lord has something for you more than the pain of your past, and you trust Him, and you can release that pain and forgive whoever harmed you. You can forgive yourself for maybe the stupid things that you did. Everywhere that sin and a broken world broke you, that you can like release all of that and operate in forgiveness. When you do that, you've taken the power of the enemy that uses the past as a weapon for bad. Oh, you see, it's just always going to happen. Everything bad happens to you. You left because of the famine. Maybe he's talking to Naomi. You left because of the famine. You come here and your husband and both your sons die. And here you are again. Now you're women in a culture that doesn't respect women. How are you going to get any food? Now you're starving again. Huh? That cycle of like famine and failure and loss and pain. It's just happening over and over and over. See, the enemy wants to use your feelings about where you came from to keep you from the purpose and the plan that God has for you. If you want to beat the odds, you got to know that our past is not going to change. But you also have to know, here's the second thing, that our past can be a powerful weapon for good when it's surrendered to the Lord. This is where we get into the story of Naomi and Ruth. Their husbands have died. Naomi, the mother-in-law, her two daughter-in-laws, Orpha and Ruth, their husbands died, all of them. They're now all widows in a culture where Naomi is now a foreigner in a foreign land, and these two ladies don't have their husbands. It is very difficult for them to even, like, subsistence-based living. That's going to be hard for them. So Naomi decides to go home. And then Orpha and Ruth, who've lived with a foreign lady and have probably been rejected by their own countrymen and family, they decide to go with her. But on the way, Naomi said to them, this is verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your mother's homes. May the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. Then she kissed them goodbye and they broke down and wept. No, they said, we want to go with you to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? Which was the custom of the day. No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I'm too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not. Things are far more bitter for me than for you because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. See, Naomi is buying a lie. But something happens. Watch. Again, they wept together and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law's gone back to her people and your gods. You should do the same. Look at Ruth's reply. Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. For wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I'll die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Two women, two similar circumstances, both lost their husbands. Naomi knew what it meant to be a foreigner in a foreign land. Ruth saw that. That's not easy in this culture. And yet Ruth, in spite of the pain, knew that there was something about Naomi's, the person of Naomi, the place where she came from, and most importantly, the God that she served. And Ruth made up her mind and said, no, I'm not going back to my family. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I'm going to live. The God that you serve, I'm going to serve him. And where you die, I'm going to die. So Naomi and Ruth go back to the land of Israel. And they go back. Our past can be a powerful weapon for good when we surrender it to the Lord. And we say, in spite of the pain, because the enemy wants you to live. He wants to use your past as a powerful weapon for bad. But when you trust the Lord and you say, Lord, I know the pain of where I came from, but I believe that there is something over there, like Ruth saying, well, over there. Like, I'm going with you back to your land. I'm going to serve your God because there's something that when you have faith for the future that God has for you, you disarm the enemy to use your past against you. In fact, it becomes a weapon for good because you can say, that's the old me. That was the before Jesus me. But the future that God has for me is good. It's good because I'm trusting him. Let your past become a weapon. You can never do this outside of faith. Brings me to the third, final thing. Our destiny can change. It doesn't change overnight, but the process does begin overnight because there was the moment when Naomi is saying, I'm going back. And Naomi, she had her own issues. Like, she was pretty upset how everything panned out, understandably. She's like, no, y'all don't come with me. I'm going back. Y'all can go get married to somebody else. I'm going back home. It's been real hard for me. But faith rose up in Ruth. And she's like, no, I won't go because there's something there. And it was rooted in the faith that we see the God of Israel, the faith that we live out today. Your destiny can change. It's a process, but it begins in a moment. The moment that you say, I leave all of the old me behind, and I am embarking on the journey that God has for me. Do you know that your destiny can change? I'm not going to read the whole book of Ruth, but it's only 4 chapters. You should read this to see what ends up happening to this amazing young foreign woman who goes back to Israel with her mother-in-law. They go back and they are subsistence living. Ruth ends up gleaning. That means behind the harvesters, whatever they drop, she goes to pick up. But she ends up gleaning in the field of someone who's roundabout related to Naomi, named Boaz. And Boaz is an older man, but he's very good to Ruth. And in the end of the, I'm just going to rush to the end of the story. At the end of the story, Boaz chooses to marry Ruth. And she's grafted in to this amazing family with a history of faith. And even though Boaz is a little older, they still have a child together. His name is Obed. That means nothing to you, probably. You may not know who that is. And then Obed grows old, gets married, has his own son named Jesse. And then Jesse grows up, gets married, and has a son named David. And David becomes the grandson, or the great-grandson of Ruth. David of David and Goliath fame. David, who the only person in the whole Bible says that it's a man after God's own heart. David, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in human form, when he came to this earth, came into the lineage of David, whose great-grandmother was Ruth, a foreigner. How did that happen? Because there was a moment where Ruth didn't live in her past. but she saw the future that God had for her in a place that she only heard about and had never been. And she was willing to trust that God had a purpose and a plan for her. And she stepped into her destiny. And it was a walk. It was a process. But it began when she said, I'm not going to believe that the past that I've lived that's been so hard is going to be my future. And God, I'm going to trust you with what you have. And she surrendered all to him. And he turned everything around in the long run. You know what? On this side of eternity, Ruth never got to see David, her great-grandson, become the greatest king in all of Israel's history. She didn't get to see his descendants up through Jesus. But because of her faith, in spite of the difficulties that she was facing, she had enough faith to see the God future. For her, today it's impacting you. Because you never know what's on the other side of your faith and obedience. You never know what's on the other side of you trusting God. So maybe you've been holding on to some hurt. Maybe you've been living in the past. Maybe you've been living in the past of your success. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. If you live in the past, you're going to miss the moment that God has for you right now, and you'll miss the future where your life impacts generations, because all we have is right now, and it's a gift. That's why it's called the present. And what God has for you when you trust him is changing the world. And you may say, that's being idealistic and unrealistic. No, it's not. It's not. Because when you choose to trust God right where you are, in each moment of every day, walk in faith and not by where you've been, what's happened to you, but to trust him for the future, he can use you because you're letting him write your plan. Maybe God's already spoken to you, and maybe you saw some fruit from that, but then you just kind of petered out. Didn't see it again. Listen to me, God will do it again if you trust him. Keep walking it out. Maybe you've been living in the past. Maybe it's past successes. Maybe it's past failures. All I know is the only thing that you have is right now. And maybe right now that God's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, actually, Revelation 3, Jesus says, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you need to release some wrongs. Maybe you need to extend forgiveness. Maybe you've shut God and other people out because of what happened in the past. But today, Jesus is knocking and he's saying, open the door of your heart to me. Let me in. I want to come in and know you. Actually, he already knows you. He wants you to know the purpose and plan that he has. If that's you, let me pray with you right now. Just say, dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I turn from my way. I give you all of the pain of the past, all of the problems of the past. Lord, I give them to you. Jesus, I'm yours. I'm choosing you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, if God's at work and you let us know, I want to connect you to people that have a heart for you, have a heart to see your purpose fulfilled. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. Let us know. I want to connect you with resources, relationships, and get you plugged in to the purpose and plan God has for you. Well, it's great being with you. Look forward to next week. It's going to be awesome. God bless.